Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
Doing well. Ready and raring to go in a new week.
Too much info.
Yeah, so are there any problems out there we can talk about, or have they all been solved by the new administration?
I'm pulling my hair out. I think we've got a few problems.
Yeah, we do. And we're going to be talking about one problem that's been around for a year and a half, and we've talked about a lot of speculation. But there's been a lot of fake news and flat-out lying about what's going on. But the big thing now is, has this virus that we're dealing with been concocted and man-made and then got loose? And who did it and why? At the same time, we spent a lot of time trying to, moderate things where people wouldn't be so hysterical that they wanted to sacrifice their liberties. And a lot of this is very, very important, but when you put it all together, it's a mess. It's a mess, and sometimes things are exaggerated, sometimes it's flat-out fake news, and sometimes it's total ignorance. But it looks like it's the whole discussion on how things got started and who did it and why, because the evidence looks pretty strong that our hands aren't clean, and Fauci's not a hero.
Yeah.
He's going to be a rich non-hero.
Maybe.
They might cancel his book.
They did, yeah. Well, they pulled it so far.
Oh, I feel
so badly
about
him.
We'll
see if it goes back.
So, there's more stuff out now that it's not just us and another six or eight people out there with good websites and good instincts talking about this and trying to analyze the non-facts that are put out. And now the more the establishment saying, well, this could be a man-made. This could be dealt with, the military may be involved. American taxpayers' money, can you believe it? Might have been involved that they took some of the foreign aid and took it and used it for this. I can't imagine such a thing. But nevertheless, we ended up with a year and a half of a serious problem, not fully understanding, with the government not coming clean with us, and also the fact that it expanded. And to me, the expansion of however this thing got started was the attack on our liberties.
Yeah.
The lockdown and the economic consequences are continuing. And I saw a statistic that shows that the Democrats vote overwhelmingly for healthy people, even under today's circumstances. If you're healthy, stay at home. More people got sick than better. And the whole thing. So this whole, that's gonna linger. We hope we can help expose what's going on with the virus and how it got started. But the thing of it is, this residual from the lockdown, yes, it's all getting better and we are feeling good about it, but will that process that they used for a year and a half, are they back there, and the people who may have been motivated to do this for very, very serious reasons are saying, this doesn't look like it's too hard to get the people to just obey, and you have to do what the government tells you. And a lot of people rolled over, and there's a bunch, in spite of the happiness now that we're lightening up, there's still a bunch of people out there are almost like, they sort of enjoy it, I am a good patriot, and then there's others who enjoy the authority of that. There's some of the state officials and county officials are lamenting the fact that they've lost a lot of their power and prestige. Well, overall, whether it's the civil liberties we lost, the lockdown, or exactly what was going on, I think we've moved in a direction right now, and we have evidence here that we know more. At least it deserves a lot more attention on, is this a man-made virus? Is that the cause? And even though we say that it was over-exaggerated, and the statistics made it sound a lot worse, it was still serious.
Yeah.
So if it was concocted for all kinds of reasons, it's still a serious problem, and we already hear of millions of dollars that was probably spent for that laboratory, where the big question is, did it come from that laboratory, and was it a creation, not of nature, but a creation of some type of haywire experimentation?
Well, we do know one thing, in that there was a conspiracy. There was a conspiracy of at least a year and a half, perhaps more. And that was a conspiracy to cover up the truth and to silence, forcibly silence, anyone who questioned the mainstream narrative about everything about this, from the origin, from it, whether it leaked or it occurred naturally, who was involved, what they did, what were useful and what weren't in terms of non-pharmaceutical items. Huge leak. But I think that Fauci's emails somehow getting out, you know, the Freedom of Information request, what some people say is kind of suspicious that it got out so quick. Fauci's emails being released, I think, broke open the dam of silence because they revealed so much about so much, from the potential lab origin to the attempts behind the scene to demonize people like DeSantis of Florida and others. It's just so massive, it's hard to get your head around it. At the time, I thought that Senator Paul's questioning of Fauci on masks was really the fatal blow, but I didn't realize until a bit later, maybe a week later, that the most significant line of questioning from Senator Paul to Fauci, and the reason why his teeth were clenched and sweat was pouring down his face practically, is that he questioned him about this gain-of-function research. And Fauci clenched his teeth, as I wrote in an RPI update, and I'll tell people how they can get that later. He clenched his teeth and said, "We did not do that, Senator." Once again, I'm telling you, well, guess what? It turns out that wasn't the case, that they did do it. They did it through a cutout organization, EcoHealth Alliance, led by someone who's looking increasingly to be a very corrupt figure. So I think the point we want to make, Dr. Paul, today is that a literal mountain of information is coming out. We can't process it all. We don't have any conclusions about what it is or what the answer is. We don't know. However, when we analyze what we do see, several disturbing things start to take shape. You know, and actually, just put up that first clip before I kick it back over there, because this is what we're talking about. This is the Wall Street Journal. The science suggests the Wuhan lab leak. These are highly esteemed professors and scientists, UC Berkeley physics professor Richard Miller and others, that wrote this Wall Street Journal opinion about it. Let's look at the next one. And now this is interesting. Now this is just out on Breitbart. Lawmakers interested in top secret coronavirus report pointing to Wuhan lab source. And we also have, Dr. Paul, two more things about this theory. Remember, if you said 6 months ago, if you talked about a theory that it may have leaked from the lab, you were a Trumpster. You were horrible. You were kicked off the social media. Well, guess what? Now we had Scott Gottlieb, the former FDA director. He was informed last spring from senior administration officials the possibility of a lab leak. Robert Redfield, former CDC director, he reported over the weekend that he received threats from other scientists when he started to endorse the lab leak theory. These are mainstream people that are now saying this lab thing looks very, very fishy.
You know, Mueller, who's a Berkeley professor, his specific comment in the Wall Street Journal article was, "The most compelling reason to favor the lab leak hypothesis is firmly based in science." Boy, that's novel.
Yeah.
You know, that used to be respected. A scientist, you know, was respected. And I think, now that I think of it, it crossed my mind that, you know, doctors generally have been respected, but I think after they see Fauci, maybe he won't be as well respected. I remember going to Congress, there weren't very many doctors there, there's a lot there now, but a lot of them would come up and say, "Do you want to be called a doctor or our congressman?" And I said, "Well, you know, the doctors still are more popular than politicians."
Yeah.
If we go and we have so many things, and there's something else I'll mention, you know, what's going on in Canada, which will probably be here too, is that the respect for the doctor is in general is going to go down, and certainly the doctor scientist. And when you read all this stuff that's going on, and of course we've always been suspicious for any reason of taking money out of the pockets of average people in this country and interfering in anything outside of the benefits of our country here rather than, you know, special groups, the military industrial complex and all kinds of stuff that is good for the common good, you know, instead of, well, we need this to have a good judge and a judicial system that we should justify this. But anyway, I think this I think we're moving in the right direction. I often ponder the idea, and you make a good point that we're not going to solve that problem. That isn't necessarily our point. Is, you know, but I'm attracted always. You know, who did it and what was their motive?
Yeah, motive.
Motives are very good on long term, at least. You know, if it was innocent. In the fact that they didn't do this deliberately, and then we say, well, they did it deliberately. They had it, and they didn't want to be they didn't want to be known that they were doing it. There's still a lot of danger in this thing, and so I think the motive is very important. But right now, I think sorting all this out of what happened, and now they've moved to admitting it. There's a little bit of fake news been challenged, and but believe me, there's a lot of people out there that will lie for a long time. I don't imagine Fauci, even under oath, he hasn't always been known to tell the truth. Has he?
Yeah. Well, what's really emerging out of this, you know, when Senator Paul questioned Fauci, he questioned them about whether the the CDC had given money to this Peter Daszak, who runs this EcoHealth Alliance. And it turns out they did. And the money, had, as Senator pointed out, is fungible. There was gain-of-function research going on in Wuhan that Daszak funneled that money to. But what's coming out now is something that's even more chilling than a couple of million dollars that the CDC may have given. And let's put up this next clip. This is from the Daily Mail over the weekend. And this is one of those ones, file it under, I'm scratching my head because I don't know the answer. Put up that next clip. This is from the Daily Mail. Forget about the $3 million. The Pentagon gave $39 million to Dr. Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance, a charity that funded coronavirus research at the Wuhan lab, accused of being the source of the outbreak. Federal data reveals a total, Dr. Paul, of $123 million from the United States government went to this so-called charity that was involved. And as a senator said, researching how to juice up viruses to make them more lethal. Perhaps it was to develop vaccines against the more lethal viruses. We don't know. But the fact that the Pentagon has its fingers all over this through DARPA and other parts of the Pentagon makes it extraordinarily suspicious. $6.4 million from the Defense Threat Reduction Agency for, quote, understanding the risk of bat-borne zoonotic disease emergence in Western Africa. So it's not only Fauci. In fact, Fauci, as I wrote in our update, may be the fall guy. He may be being designed to take the fall because what it looks like, what we see now, is heavy Pentagon involvement, heavy involvement of the current director of national intelligence, who was a business partner of Antony Blinken with China on this scientific research. So it's huge. We're not about to unfold the whole thing because it's too complicated at this point, but Dr. Paul, I'm sure you share this big concern. What is the Pentagon doing funding the Chinese to juice up viruses?
Well, there's an incentive in there, I'll bet you, and somebody's making money. And when you say, what's the incentive for how they're distributing vaccines and saying such dumb things where every single person, vaccine little kids down to the age of three,
yeah,
that kind of stuff, there is some sinister stuff going on. But you know, if this is mentioned and people say, well, it looks like they messed up. There wasn't enough supervision. We need to have more monitoring. We need more regulations. We need another group to monitor all this foreign aid. And that is not going to do a bit of good because the whole system is rotten to the core. And there's always an excuse. It's always national defense, you know, the defense reasons. And the bureaucrats are supposed to iron this out. And I say that the only way you're going to prevent this from happening again, even that we're anywhere close, or something not even similar. It's this whole idea that the principle is that you steal money from poor people in this country and give it to rich people in other countries, or doing some sinister thing for the military industrial complex. That's the problem. That's why, on principle, you shouldn't, there shouldn't be a foreign aid package of billions and billions of dollars, but and yet it never had trouble passing. You know, they said, well, this is only $15 billion or $20 billion or something like that. It's still manipulated by profits by a lot of people, and I'm sure that was involved in this deal.
And one of the other things we've learned from Fauci's emails is that early on, after the emergence of COVID, scores of scientists came forward. They looked at the genome sequencing and they said, this doesn't look natural. Something looks fishy about this, and it should be investigated. But what did Peter Daszak do? The guy who heads this EcoHealth Alliance, he stealthily, and we know this from the emails, he stealthily organized a group of his friendly fellow scientists to sign a letter and get it published in The Lancet saying that this was a dirty conspiracy theory. It should have no research. Nobody should ever look into whether or not this virus was jiggered up at all. And it shut these guys up. It shut these scientists up. He said, let's have a look at this. What's going on here? So it's very suspicious. Why did he want to discredit not only that they jiggered it up, but he wanted to discredit the lab leak theory? And in fact, as someone pointed out, on the very same day where he publicly said this lab leak theory is totally bogus, he was privately communicating via email saying that he's concerned about it and we need to do something about this right away, as was Fauci last spring talking about the possibility of a lab leak, possibility of juiced up, and their concerns about it.
The system we have now is very easy to use, financial things, banking, the whole rest, the government appropriations, to force people to do and say things and intimidate people. And that's what you're talking about. They're being intimidated and they sort of know that it's not quite right, but the choices become terrible. And we've mentioned the terrible choices that some people have, that if they don't do something, if they don't wear their stupid mask someplace, they might lose their job and this sort of thing. I think the case that you point out, when they want to speak out and then you know they get hit hard and they're not ready to sacrifice their livelihood.
Yeah.
What they've done is, this is a civil liberties issue, because they're destroying the First Amendment. You know, and they say, well, it's too controversial. That's what the First Amendment's all about. It's supposed to be there for us to say controversial things, whether they're political, economic, and even scientific. And that's what science is all about. It's give and take and studying and have challenges, prove your point, this sort of thing. This now, if somebody challenges it for good scientific reasons, they're destroyed. They're going to destroy their reputation. They might lose their job in a university,
yeah,
because they haven't gone along. And there's so much government intimidation and funding that where the power's behind it, that people have been intimidated. And that's why the reversal of the lockdown is so important, that these principles are restored. Right now, things have improved. There's hope that we're going in the right direction and continue to do this. But I'm fearful that there's too many people who have been conditioned and they feel comfortable because somebody's out there taking care of themselves. Besides, they got a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't even have to work anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, they'll send me a check and I'm not going to have to work. The whole thing is out of whack, to say it mildly.
Well, I think the most dangerous lockdown now we're seeing is the lockdown of the mind.
And that's what's there you go.
But more on military involvement, you've got something out of Idaho that crossed your desk this morning that wasn't too disturbing.
Yes, the military was used to intimidate individuals to sign up and get their vaccine. And I wrote down, Caesar needs his centurions. But the other thing is, so just a little bit disappointing, is we've generally given, and even on my trips to Idaho, I always assume there's a good core conservative constitutionalist there,
yeah,
that might have said something, but that's not the case. They came in and they intimidated them and they more or less forced these people to take these vaccines. It's probably not going to work, hopefully so. And But then there was the contest about whether it was the school district that did it or whatever. But it's the use of it as a weapon to force people to do things, get people whose instincts say, well, you know, I've read too much about this virus or the vaccine, and I don't feel comfortable about it, and I ought to have a right to make an opinion for it, my children. And they say, well, you've had vaccines forever. And a lot of them have answered, the ones who understand it, say, well, this is just not an average average vaccine. Yeah. The testing hasn't been done, and the parents, the ones who want to be real parents, are starting to think for their children and not get in line and wait for them to do it and give it to kids that have no chance of getting sick or die from this stuff.
Well, that's a big danger, that the kids aren't taking it, and that's why, what do you do when you have a problem? You just simply lie to people. And here's the next thing. I just want to present this to you, Dr. Paul, because I call this anatomy of fake news. Because you remember a few months ago, Rochelle Walensky was crying on the camera saying, I sense impending doom. Then Texas opened up, and what did you have? Only impending doom was the impending doom of her reputation and the doom of Fauci's reputation. Well, she's back again, and this was big news at the end of last week. Let's put up this next clip. She once again had a tearful interview. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky is urging parents to vaccinate their kids after new data showed an increase in COVID-19 hospitalizations among adolescents. That was her claim. Let's go next to the next. This is an actual statement from Walensky. I'm deeply concerned by the numbers of hospitalized adolescents, and I'm saddened to see the number of adolescents who require treatment in intensive care units. So she is juicing this up. Friday, June 4th, and what happens, of course, dutifully, does the media check it out? Does the media even go to the CDC's website to see maybe she's not telling the truth? Let's go to the next one. This is how the media amplifies these things. Next clip, please. San Francisco Chronicle, echoing what she says. The CDC is seeing troubling data regarding hospitalizations in adolescents with COVID-19. The agency's director, Rochelle Walensky, said Thursday. Well, thankfully, there are people on Twitter who know how to do a little bit of easy research even. Let's look at the next clip. This is from the actual CDC's website. Look at this. This is the disturbing trend of hospitalizations among 12 to 17-year-olds. What does the line look like, Dr. Paul? Maybe they got this chart upside down. I don't know. This is from their own, look, you see it up in the corner, CDC website. This is the disturbing trend. Let's go to the next one. Here's more CDC data. That one on the far right, that is the preliminary data of hospitalization by age. Does that look like a disturbing trend? Is that the rise? Just do one more. That's the last one. Here, it's circled. The data is there for all to see. CDC's own information. Look at that circled part, Doctor. That is, Dr. Paul, that is the terrifying rise that Walensky's talking about, an absolute lie.
I think you're mixed up.
I may be. I think I am too.
No, they're looking at it from their viewpoint. It's very disturbing. They're going to be out of business. Yeah. They depend on fear mongering. So that's why what they have to do is twist it around, and they point out the people who reveal this. They're pointing out the truth that it becomes a crime.
Yeah.
It becomes criminal. You might lose your job, but you might be. They're even threatening people with incarceration for these things. Other countries. To me, one of the amazing things is how this became a worldwide event. I don't think it became. I don't think they can prove it by deaths throughout the world. It's serious. We've always acknowledged that. But lockdowns, they ignore. But they still accomplish something worldwide. They were able to intimidate, and some of the governments and the intimidations, even worse than what we've seen here.
Absolutely.
So I think one thing is they say, you know, we have, I think, unfortunately, more prisoners than probably even per population than even China.
Yeah.
But they say, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? And one of the things is we have too many laws, you know, when it comes to drug laws and all. But this is too much interference here. Instead of saying protecting the First Amendment, which is a negative thing, you just don't have to do anything. Let people say what they want unless they defraud somebody or slander somebody. It's not like you can do that. But it's a really a sad thing that this thing has been turned upside down. And the CDC is not helpful. And of course, you made the point clearly that the media doesn't help.
They don't care. They don't care. They don't want to do any research.
Okay, I want to challenge you again. Maybe they do.
From their point of view.
What is their job?
Keep it alive.
We know what our responsibility is. Yeah. But what's their job?
Yeah. No wonder they want to shut us up.
and it's pointing that out. Is what are they up to? Well, there's another one here on Alameda County.
Let's put that clip up, Dr. Paul. Go ahead and.
They had some.
Put that next clip up.
Debate up there.
Go ahead, Dr. Paul. Yeah.
And there's a new death report on here, and we don't know exactly why, but they decided, well, we have to change the way we're counting, the people who died from it. And of course, we've never believed that that has been responsible. You always either had to die of or die with, and since the test was totally unreliable, sometimes 90% off whack, a lot of people died with it, but not because of it. But they adjusted this, and all of a sudden they had 25% less deaths.
Huge, right? 25%.
I always try to figure out what are they up to now.
So
anyway, served somebody's interest. It served our interest in that truth is sneaking out on them, and the problem wasn't nearly as bad as it was. And if it's now they're admitting it, it's been going on for a whole year. And then the mess that they had up in New York went back and forth. Sometimes it was good to report more cases, and sometimes it was better to report less cases.
Yeah.
So they could manipulate some of this. So anyway, something's going on. I don't know. They'll probably say the vaccine's working.
Yeah.
But I don't even think this one they could use it, because they didn't have enough time for this to happen.
Well, I think what it confirms is what you said from the beginning. The fact that these massive stimulus bills included tons of money for hospitals. If you write COVID on the death certificate, you get a big chunk of money.
The incentive
was so high to do this. And if we can go back to that last clip, actually, I think the subtitle tells you exactly what happened. If we can kick that one back up. County previously included deaths of anyone infected with the virus, regardless of whether it was a direct or contributing cause of death. And I would add, which is coming out, regardless of whether it had anything to do with death. We're talking about homicides, suicides, accidents, completely unrelated things, were all marked COVID. So when they went back and looked at the hospital codes for the deaths and looked at what actually happened, they found 25%. The question I think this raises, Dr. Paul, if this is true in only Alameda County, is Alameda County the only dishonest county in the entire country? Or is this one example of thousands and thousands of other counties that have done the same thing?
Well, there's an ethical problem here, obviously. Physicians capitulating and going along with this, and I've heard them talk, and it does happen, and they lean. But then again, it's the malinvestment account. We spend all this money and send it out, and then there's this temptation by the drug companies and the providers of medical care. The whole mess makes the thing much, much worse. And that is, totally created and concocted and preventable. But this is tough, trying to find the pieces of truth left and bring it about and get people, get them back thinking straightly in a way of being self-reliant and responsible for oneself. But that I find rather sad about how the doctors have capitulated and go along with that. And I've said so many times that the probably the most important thing about good medicine is a doctor-patient relationship. Yeah. And it's science, but it adds something else too on how people present themselves, and also the volunteerism that occurs, that a good physician would listen to somebody who said, you know, I like to eat so-and-so, and I believe in nutrition, and all of a sudden, you know, that sounds very good. Maybe that's a better test than, you know, taking a lot of expensive pills. And it's listening and varying in some of the medications now that could have helped was, you know, very, very inexpensive compared to the expensive drugs that came from pharma.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you brought up a really disturbing story earlier today before the show, and really Canada makes the USSR look like Switzerland, you know, with these things. Go ahead and bring that one up.
Well, the headline is their agency that watches after the doctors to Ontario. Doctors, shut up or lose your license.
Jeez.
Can you imagine, you know, what that's like? Because, you know, you spend 15 years going to school, yeah, and then they say, well, if you have this one principle, and you don't even have to do anything, you don't commit any harm, but you have to, you challenge them, and you might be doing better medicine by challenging some of the things going on by the establishment medical group. So this is something that I want to read one statement from this report. It commands the Ontario doctors not to make any statement that might be considered anti-vaccine, anti-masking, anti-distancing, or anti-lockdown. Oh yes, you better deny that you believe in the First Amendment. No, I added that. It forbids them to promote unsupported, unproven treatment for COVID-19. Oh, that just invites so much of a discussion and yeah, fake news, because they want to protect all their lying. Unproven by what standards? But they don't explain. You don't even know how to, if you're trying, you don't even know what the standards are. Doctors are further forbidden to make comments that might encourage people to act contrary. Now, this is one that really gets me. To act contrary to public health orders. What about the patient?
Yeah.
Public health orders is Fauci,
yeah,
you know, and drug companies, and they can always, and they say, well, look at this statistic. Well, we've just talked about statistics,
yeah,
and it's all fake news.
Fake.
And it's all to build the power and finances of Big Pharma.
Yeah, it is. It's sick.
Other than that, I think it was a great article.
But you said before, we used to go to Canada to get away from the war machine. No, I mean, Canadians are probably going to come down to Texas.
Yeah, when I was doing a residency in Detroit, it was not too far from Canada, and there were some medications that the Canadians were more tolerant of and useful, and it was used in GYN, and the patients would go over to Canada to get them, and yet you can't tell what they're doing. They're either preventing competition from coming in, or whatever they're doing, or they're forcing you to use it. But it's not a good system.
That's terrible. Well, I'm going to close with a couple quickies. And if we can actually skip a couple and go to that second to the last slide. It's the email from Fauci to Sylvia Burwell. If we have that one up. This is talk about masks. Now go forward a little bit. Go forward, please. Yeah, there we go. This is an email sent by Dr. Fauci, Wednesday, February 5th, 2020. I guess this is a friend of his, Sylvia Burwell. She wrote to ask him about masks. Now remember, Fauci went on to become the biggest champion of masks in the entire government. Wear two, wear three, wear 12. We gotta wear them, gotta wear them. Here's what he was saying in private at the same time. Sylvia, masks are really for infected people to prevent them from spreading infection to people who are not infected, rather than protecting uninfected people from acquiring infection. Listen to this one. The typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out virus, which is small enough to pass through the material. He knew it all along, but he lied for all that time. And one more, Dr. Paul. This is something else from the emails, the Fauci release. This is fascinating because this shows what Fauci was doing behind the scenes as a manipulator to prevent the truth from coming out. Let's put up that last one. And we can zoom in a little bit on that top part if we can. I don't know if we can. But here's Fauci. He He's furious that DeSantis is going to open the beaches and the bars in Florida. And here's what he said in private. Regarding the bars and beaches, I've been screaming on TV 2 to 5 times per night to tell the younger generation to start taking this seriously. I'm very surprised that Governor DeSantis has not completely closed the bars, even if they serve food, takeout only. I will bring this up at the task force meeting tomorrow. So this is what he's doing behind the scenes. And now that we know what happened, thankfully DeSantis didn't do all that. And guess what? Nothing happened.
Very good. You know, I mentioned that I was quite pleased that we're opening up a little bit, and there's a large number of people are enjoying it now, and that's good, and the momentum is in that direction. The momentum right now is more exposure of the distortion of what was been going on and what Fauci's been doing. So that is all good. But what my concern is are long-term trends. You know, when 9/11 occurred, you know, it was such a disaster, but I still in my mind, harbored in my mind is, this is a bad sign. It's for all kinds of reasons, it was just bad. But the one was that this is going to change the attitude about our federal government and their obsession on making us safe. Well, don't you want to be safe? Everybody has to be safe. If a government is designed to make you safe, they can do it. They can make you perfectly safe if they, you know, round you up and put you in a field someplace. But the safety is something that can only be accomplished by the elimination of your freedom. Freedom means you make choices and you take risks. And that's what it's all about. But if you expect the government to make us safe, then that's a different story. I'm afraid that what is just going on, and this is the whole thing has been a drill, a practice run, because so many things have been pushed on us. You know, first the stories that they denied, and then you find out, well, they have to change it because they didn't measure the deaths quite right, and it goes on and on, and then they back off, and people finally say enough is enough, so they're taking another step back. Now, the TSA, my argument was I didn't vote for the TSA. My argument was the responsibility of safety on the people, the passengers, the patients, whatever, and the airline should be responsible for making it safe and taking care of their customers. But no, it has been. Now everybody has to be included. Then the bureaucracy has to grow. Undermining of liberties continue. That's a terrible place to have to be, is to go through the airport. And believe me, it isn't getting better. It expanded since 9/11, and it continued. And did you ever notice they're changing the rules all the time? They've done that almost every year. We'll do that. Well, take your shoes off now. Don't take off your shoes off there. And it's just to keep people, you know, on their toes and obeying. And I think that's what is happening here. And now we're backing off. But I still think that there's a lot of tendency for the dependency on government. And if there's an epidemic that's much worse, medically speaking, because this one, the reporting of this was so distorted. But they, and then the invitation now to start thinking about how are some of these some of these viruses established, it makes you raise more questions. So this is a concern. That's why the big picture is protect one's liberty, assume responsibility for taking yourself, make everything voluntary, and make sure you don't send people to government that tells lies. And the best way to do that is have a very, very small government. And lying becomes less beneficial and less money to be made by being there. But right now, we're on a course of total bankruptcy, and who knows what lack of respect of our civil liberties. I mentioned today on specifically what has happened when they're putting a lot of intimidation on people. And if you don't do this or say something, this political correctness, that's a violation of the First Amendment. And yet people don't see it in that terms. But then there's also the positive side of things. People are waking up. I am pleased with that. And I love it when, I loved baseball. I didn't go to baseball parks where a lot of people were. But there a lot of people went without their mask on a few weeks ago. And there's more of that. So I hope that has lit a spark, for a lot of people who say, being free again is pretty nice. Let's continue to do it. But I think the big principle is important. You have a right to your freedom. You have a responsibility to take care of yourself. And don't depend on the government to protect you and make you safe and secure forever. That doesn't work. You have to sacrifice your life and your liberty for that. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.